Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Boy, I got to be honest with you, folks. I'm trying not to just give you everything that I've got today, in a good way, because I want God wants maximum participation. So I've put this off. I put the main message off for a couple of weeks, but we'll get into a little bit of it today, and then we're gonna. If you know anybody that goes to this church, and please, how many know me? Has Pastor Shelby and I ever mandated anything and made any requirements upon anybody that sits in the seats? Have we ever like mandated you have to do this and you have to do that and you? Okay, next week is the first time. I say that in a joking manner because you know we're not that way, but at the same time, how many know that? And I've said this before, and I really want you guys to get a revelation of this, and that is that this church is not my idea. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for us. This church is not my idea. And we need to understand this, and I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this to manipulate anybody at all. Everybody say amen. Amen. In fact, you guys in the back, why don't you all come up front and so you're all part of us. Usins in the front. I noticed there's two January 8th. Which one is it? Okay. What was I saying? Kind of all over the place today, but that's all right. We're going to end up in a good place. We don't mandate things. This church is not my idea. And I want you to understand this, and my heart's cry forever is that people get a revelation of this. That, for the most part, local churches are in place because Father has something in his heart that he wants to plant in the cities surrounding that local church. So they have assignments. Do you guys understand that? It's not about me. It's not about my good idea. If it was up to me, I'd probably make the wrong choice. But we have to understand, and again, please understand me. If you know me, you need to understand this. I'm not trying to manipulate, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize things to manipulate people to go a certain direction. I hate that, and I don't do that. And quite honestly, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of stuff I just don't say because I don't want to come off like that, okay? But I can tell you this, 2017, as strong as I can possibly communicate it, Father wants people to show up for this church because we've kind of been like a shorted out wire. The church has been around for 9 years. Does it look like it? And I'm not putting it off on you guys, but I am saying this in the most serious way that I can, that Jesus wants to accomplish some things in this church, in this city, because of this church this year. And I was reminded of, remember the parable that where Jesus told me, he said, go invite, you know, the ones that are invited to the banquet, the feast. And so they went out and everybody had a reason why they couldn't. What happened? What happened? Called other people. And you know, I'm going to repeat this next week when you have called everybody you know that goes to this church and said, I don't care what you're doing, rearrange your schedule, get to church this Sunday, period. God has something he wants to say. And I understand, folks, that I'm taking a risk. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I just talk. I'm taking a risk in saying the things I'm getting ready to say because some people will take it wrong. Some people will choose to be offended. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is not playing. He cannot add to a church that the church gives him nothing to add to. You remember what I taught you long ago where in the book of Acts where it says he added to the church daily them that should be saved, and the picture in the Greek was him escorting an individual into the middle of a group of folks and said, I am entrusting this person to your care. And then he walks out. And he told us this a long time ago in some of the other lessons and series that we've taught, that he has to have something to add to. But when everything is so sporadic and everything is, well, I come this month and I come next month, and I come 3 weeks later and I come 2 weeks later and I come, there's nothing for him to add to. There just isn't. I mean, the church is not about everybody that's sitting here. The church is about anybody that might walk through that door any given week. And there's been weeks where, you know, the only people sitting here are brand new visitors. If you were a brand new visitor and you walked in, what's going on here? What does that say? And, you know, please don't misunderstand me. I understand that, you know, certain times, you know, folks have stuff to come up. I get that. But I believe that the Spirit of God wants to challenge our hearts. And I've told you this before, that the local church is in place to challenge the hearts of men, including ours. If the local church was not here and it was not what God wanted to do, there is nothing to challenge our hearts. Because we can basically state that God is doing whatever we agree with. And He always agrees with us. But the local church, He put it here to constantly challenge our hearts, constantly expose and reveal what's going on in our hearts, so He could bring us up into the maturity of the head. So I understand while I'm saying these things, I understand that maybe it hits people sideways. You know what? What am I going to do? I would hope that you would want to have someone who loves you enough to shoot straight. God wants to do some things, and He wants to do some things in this city. And I will say this, and I'm going to say it again next week, that we can play around and play around and play around to the place where we'll come this week and come 3 weeks later and come a month later and come, and then we'll walk in one day and this church won't even be ours. We won't recognize it because everybody in the seats are total strangers to you. I don't want that. Nor do I want to come to the place where I don't do what I'm supposed to do, so He says, you know what, I'm going to ask this person to do it because I know they will. I don't want to be that guy. And you don't want to be those folks that don't, you know, that you're invited to the feast. He wants to bring other folks to the feast, but He wants to keep you here. He wants you to be part of the feast. But I can tell you this, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there are things that we're going to go into this year. And I'm going to just say this, God's going to grow this church so fast that if we decide to sit back on the back burner, you'll be a stranger in your own church. Because you opted to be a spectator. And I know you don't want to do that. But I'm telling you, and I realize by me saying that it's putting me under the gun. People are waiting, okay, let's just wait till December. Let's just see if what he said was right. Let's just see. I'm telling you, it's going to grow so fast that if you're not participating and you're not a part of it, you will become a stranger in your own church. And I'm not trying to manipulate, but I am trying to talk to you as serious as I can, as much in love as I possibly can. Jesus is not playing and He wants to do something in this church. The choice is, do you want to be a part of what He's doing, or do we want to have our preoccupations set somewhere else? I don't want to be that person. You know, it was mentioned yesterday, I'm kind of getting into my notes, but kind of not, but it was mentioned yesterday, I thought something was said interesting, that the scripture that talked about in Romans, let me pull it up here. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Pretty good, huh? Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Message. I want to say the mirror. The Message translation says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says this. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Everybody say a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Notice what the mirror translation says, the same verse. You ever heard of the mirror translation? Look it up. I think there's a number of books in the New Testament that were done. It's pretty interesting. The Mirror translation says this: thinking patterns are formed. Everybody say thinking patterns. Thinking patterns are formed by reference. What does that mean? That means whatever you've chosen to relate to the most. In 2017, Jesus is going to challenge what we have chosen to relate to the most. Thinking patterns are formed by reference, either the sensual appetites of the flesh and spiritual death, or Zoe life and total tranquility, flowing from a mind addicted to spirit realities. That's the mere translation. Thinking patterns are formed by reference, either the sensual appetites of the flesh or spiritual death, or Zoe life and total tranquility, flowing from a mind addicted to spirit realities. Now, please understand, again, this is mentioned yesterday too, that when we talk about these verses, we're not talking about sin. Please understand that. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about what we choose to feed our thought processes on a constant basis. I can pretty much squeeze you and tell where you live. Likewise, you could squeeze me and tell where I live. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm not, you know, please understand, don't go to that makes me feel bad. Don't go there. But just understand that Jesus said that, and that's a reality, that's a truth reality. And how many know He kind of knew what He was talking about because He's speaking from the realm He's most familiar with. So these verses are saying that not so much it's sin, but it's whatever you feed on, and whatever is your reality, whatever is your reference, whatever you relate to the most. How many have ever prayed for somebody and nothing happened. So did we stop or did we just keep on plugging away? I mean, honestly, don't tell me what I want to hear. You answer the question for you. Because here's the thing, is maybe the only reason that nothing happened, maybe the only reason, is just because we just don't relate to that enough yet. So let's keep pushing in until we relate to it totally. Because this verse is telling us and guaranteeing us that that which originates from the realm of the Spirit, if the Spirit realm is your reference point, that which you're most familiar with, then everything that comes out of you is going to generate life in somebody else. Right? Is that right? He's telling you it is. It's not a possibility. He's saying it is. So notice this in the Passion Translation, the very next verse, verse 7, says this. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to His direction because it cannot. Maybe the only challenge that we've had is the fact that we're just too alive in our own heads. Maybe that's the only reason. You know, I realize that maybe some things that I say today, but mostly next week, Maybe those things will hit some people sideways. But understand this, that you've got to come to the grips with you. I have to come to the grips with me. We all have to come to the grips with the fact that the Word of God is not lying to you. And it's telling you, this is how you gauge, this is how you realize, this is how you reference where your point of reference that you've chosen to establish for your life is. This very thing is how you recognize where you've chosen to toss your anchor. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul made this statement. Remember the Word of God talks about being, guarding the unity of the Spirit? Everybody say guarding the unity of the Spirit. Some of the writings of Paul mentions guard the unity of the Spirit. And he is talking about one with the other. But I will submit to you that the only way that will happen is if we're all anchored in the same place. Notice what he says here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit, he's talking about Timothy, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Here's the thing, my wife kind of took my testimony, but that's okay. She primed it. This gal we talked to yesterday, her name was Erin. Let me ask you, do you know the name of the waitress that last helped you? Do you know the last person that you met in the grocery store, their name? What about the checkout gal or guy? Do you understand that all of those individuals are the interests of Jesus? Here's what's so amazing about our trip to IHOP, which we don't ever go to, hardly. But we decided, the thought popped in my wife's head, let's go to IHOP. I said, okay. So we went. We sat down, this gal goes up to help us. You know, halfway through. You know, I didn't pounce on her immediately. Halfway through. You know, I get her name immediately. I just do that. I want to talk to the people by name. But I asked her. I said, and this is my big fail. So if your pastor fails, then you are more than welcome to and allowed to fail. I had an impression that she had a son that was 5 years old. So I asked her, do you have a son? And she said, no, I have 5 girls. Okay, now I'm not going to say I was set up. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But the fact is, I stepped in it. So I'm out there. So I said, well, you know what? Those 5 girls, they're going to grow up and they're going to call you blessed. And I spoke some other things into her life. And she said, listen to this. She said, you know what? It is amazing that you guys showed up today. Thank you so much for what you said. I was just at a store yesterday, and some lady walked up to me and told me, man, you have such good energy. And then she told me some other things. And then she gave me her card, and she was a spiritualist. And you need help finding your way. And she said things, and then I took her card, and she said, but then I noticed, because I was going to go see her. And I noticed, now I think she was walking around to a lot of other people and her cart was completely empty. And she was just going to people passing out her card and she was kind of saying the same thing. Now what do you suppose would have happened if Shelby and I had not gone to IHOP? She would have had the thought and the card to go see this. Because you know what she said? Before she told us that, she said this, you know, or something to this effect. I really know that I'm supposed to do something, I just don't know what it is. And I told her, I says, well, you give your life 100% to Jesus. He'll draw your heart to His, and then He'll put His heart into yours. And He'll put desires in your heart, and you follow those desires. And a month from now, a year from now, you'll be standing in what He's put into your life as your assignment. But if we had never gone, you understand we're in a war here? Do we really understand that we're in a war? Those folks, those in darkness, they're walking around trying to net people. Come and see me. You need help. Jesus is as much at war with darkness now for the souls of people and the lives of people. Folks, it is not okay. If we have not, and I'm telling you, I'm just being straight with it and putting myself right in the middle of all of us. If we don't have encounters like that everywhere we go all the time, why are we breathing? You don't honestly think you were born on the planet just to live life, do your thing, work a job, and then exit, do you? If we hadn't showed up yesterday, what would have happened? Well, she would have probably gone to this chick. And she probably would have got so tangled up in garbage. We had no idea going there. We had absolutely no idea that was what just took place. The day before, we sit down and tell her that God thinks she's amazing. Jesus is pursuing her all the days of her life. And if she'll just give her life to Him completely, 100%, He'll put her heart into His and His heart into her. And she'll find out exactly why she's breathing. And her five kids, her five daughters. Can you imagine having five? I can't imagine having five daughters. Well, you know, you can relate. Yeah. But I'm telling you, Jesus did that on purpose because He cares about Aaron. And He said, oh, no, you don't. She belongs to me. How many people do we pass on a daily basis? Do we meet checking out? Do we? Because we're just so afraid. I can't even freaking say the word God. We need to get over ourselves. Because life is not about me. It's not about you. It's about everybody's breathing. I drove by this morning and I saw this guy walking down the street and he's like hunched over looking at the concrete. That's his life. Every day he gets up, he's looking at concrete. Jesus wants him to look up. The only reason, if you'll drive down the street on a Sunday morning and you see all these folks out there doing all their own thing, walking their dogs, doing whatever, the only reason you see them out there is because they haven't met Jesus and He hasn't spoken to them. Because someone somewhere is too afraid to even mention God in their presence. Because we bought into this BS lie that we're not supposed to mention anything about it. When the fact is, Aaron was waiting for somebody to tell her the purpose for her to breathe. Okay. Go to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. You guys doing all right? You guys know I love you, right? But you know we have an assignment, and quitting is not an option. Neither is him finding other people because no one else was interested. I mean, why do you suppose those stories are in your Bible? Because natural man acts naturally the same way, one generation after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. There is no different version. Jesus knows a natural man thinks like this. We call ourselves spirit-filled when really the only thing we can relate to is natural things. How does that work? I don't want to be that guy in Philippians that Paul says, well, they all have their own interests at heart. I said Psalm 145, right? Look at this. This is in the Passion Translation, but this chapter, Psalms 145, when I read this, and I've been reading this and reading this and reading this and reading this and reading this for weeks, this chapter is the culture that Jesus wants to establish, not just in Best Life Church, but every local church that is existing in this city today. His question for us is this: will you allow me to use you to do this, or do I need to find someone else? See, Pastor, he's not asking that question. You want to stand in front of him and find out? I'm just being real. Psalms 145, watch this. This is amazing. My heart explodes with praise to you. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you're worthy, you're great and worthy of the highest praise. There's no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. And I could stop there. But wait, there's more. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and discover more of your glory. Your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Verse 7 through 9. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty, bringing bliss to our hearts. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. You're so kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and so very patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. Verse 10 through 12. Everything you have made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose. Can I ask you a question? I know I'm jumping ahead of myself here, but there are four pillars of guarantees, and two pillars of guarantees at least in this chapter. Number one is verse 4. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and discover more of your glory. Did you notice that that's a guarantee? He doesn't say it might happen. But did you notice that there's a theme here? It started with you. Verse 1, it said, my heart explodes with praise to you. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you. And then as a result of that, I will lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. I brought this up last week. Not only does this mean that your praises will go on for eternity, but how many know this, that if they go on for eternity, they never go away? Which means every time you open your mouth to praise Him, you're adding layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of praise that came out of you that are set in motion in the realm of eternity forever, and they're never coming back. Think about that. How large of a wall, how many layers of praise are you going to set in motion in the eternal realm this year in 2017? But notice that that's not just a one-way deal. Notice that the discovery, verse 3, you purposed in your heart to praise and worship Him and to set layers of praise into motion in the realm of the eternal, the spirit realm, eternal realm. And as a result of that, there's no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. In other words, the more you open your mouth and the more layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of praise that you set into motion in the eternal realm, the more layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of revelation of Him come back to you. It doesn't just happen once in this chapter. It goes from you to now in verse 4, generation after generation. It doesn't say they might declare more of your greatness. It says they will. The question you have to decide is, do I want to get in on this? Because Psalms 145 says you do. So as a result of you, out of your heart, praising Him, praising Him, praising Him, praising Him, and being flooded with the revelation and discovery of Him, as a result of that, and notice that this is not obviously something that happens on your couch. Did you ever notice that the word says these signs follow them that believe, and then it defines what believing is? It's an action. They lay hands on. That's not sitting someplace. That's an action. That's you're moving. You're doing. You're living life. So that part of the discovery we find here is not just you sitting still. Generation after generation, as a result of you sending layers and layers and layers of worship and praise, and as a result, being on the receiving end of layers and layers and layers of revelation and discovering Him, and you walking those things out. As a result of that, now it moves from you, one individual, to the multitudes. Generation after generation, they will declare more of your greatness. And guess what happens? Same thing happens with them. They discover more of your glory. And then it goes on to say, your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. No wonder in verse 1, you are worshiping and sending so many layers and layers and layers of praise out into the eternal realm, because the only thing you're thinking about is constantly thinking about His majesty, His greatness, His miracles. You suppose there's any correlation, there's any connection to, for the most part, so many local churches never seeing anything miraculous happen in their midst, and it never happens through them out there in public because they don't spend their time talking about it. Does Psalms 145 in your Bible say the same thing it says in mine? That this is our meditation, this is our focal point, this is our reference, that we just love talking about the greatness of God. We love talking about bragging on our Father. We love bragging on our Father out in public venues. We love talking about the great things He does. We love talking about the power that functions from Him. We love talking about all that. Maybe that whole religious thing of, well, it's all about the love of God, not the power. Maybe that's the very reason why, and we didn't realize it, that we got slapped by darkness and we thought it was spiritual and right. Do you think David knew God, or was he off his rocker? David wrote this. What was the biggest important thing to him? He just tells you right here in Psalm 145. My constant meditation is the magnificent splendor of your miracles and your majesty. And then verse 6, he says, your awe-inspiring acts of power, everybody say power, have everyone talking. Why? Because that's what you're talking about. Do you see a correlation here? Y'all here today? Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Do you understand that the reason that everyone's talking is because you're talking? Do you hear me? Folks, listen to me. The reason I'm bringing this out is because, and he goes in, you know, for the sake of time, let's just go. He talks later on about what is it that he's meditating on in regards to, you know, the miracles of majesty and his majestic power. He goes on, he talks about this in this chapter. He says this, if I can find it. He says in verse 10, he says, everything you've made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose, and all your godly lovers will be found bowing before you. Now, I don't know whether you've thought about this or not. And I was going to do this whole color-coded presentation thing, and I've got it all on my slides. But I don't know if you've realized this or not. But the progression in this chapter, he talks about, I'll just jump forward and talk, just get it here. We've talked about the fact that it started out with you, and it's not responding. It started with you, that your heart explodes with praise, that your heart bows in worship to him. Every day you lift up your praise. And when I say you, I mean us, we. Let's say we. Verse 3. That he's great and worthy of highest praise. There's no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds him. It starts with us. Because that's our constant meditation. Now, I'm going to just say this, folks, and I'm putting myself right in the middle of with you guys. It doesn't matter a hill of beans if we've prayed for somebody 100 times and nothing's happened. Can someone else tell me, this is a hypothetical question, don't answer. Can somebody else tell me if there's some other gospel that we're supposed to be listening to? Is there another gospel? So if there's not, then maybe it's just a process of us rerouting our preoccupation and planting our reference point and allowing us to be planted into the right place. Because once it happens, things start popping. Notice the word says, these sons follow them that believe in my name. It says nothing about the person that's on the receiving end. We're the ones that did that, guys. We're the ones that made it be about the other person's unbelief. You need to shut that mess up and stop hanging millstones around people's necks. Your Bible tells you that the things of the Spirit are foolish to the natural mind, right? So why are we trying to talk a natural mind into receiving something that the Holy Spirit already told you it doesn't get? So if it's just a matter of relocating our reference point, then let's just allow him to relocate our reference point. If there isn't really any other gospel, what are your options? Let's just be this until it starts happening, and then it'll just explode everywhere you go. I'm not telling you have to give up your family time, but I am saying, you know, where did we get the option that this was kind of like, well, there's this gospel, but then there's this other gospel that, you know, if you don't like this gospel, then at least you have something to fall back on. He put everything in you. Psalms 145 says it all starts with us. If we're not discovering him, part of the reason why we're not discovering him is because we're still sitting in our house. We're sitting in our house and he wants to show you parts of him when you're out there breathing, walking around. Those parts of him that he wants you to discover, he's not going to show it to you. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever noticed that, you read all these books and read all these stories, and I'm all for reading books and reading stories. You know, I'm going to talk to you about some things we're going to do this year, next week, along these lines. But have you ever noticed that all these folks, and you read all these books, and all this stuff's happening, and things are popping, and people are, you know, they're just, the Holy Spirit just seems to flow with them. You ever notice that? And then you look at you, and you're like, what gives? And then that's where we get all this, well, they're just gifted. That's just their gifting. Or that's just the office they stand in. That's what it is. They stand in the office of such and such, and they're gifted in such and such. Shut that up. Did you ever notice? Do you know that any of those people? Were you around when they started? Do you know their beginning stories? I'm not talking about what you read in the book. I'm saying, do you really know their beginning stories? No, you don't. Did you realize that the only reason that what you're seeing in that moment in time, what you're reading about, the only reason that happened, the only reason that the Holy Spirit shares that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom, that insight, that prophetic word, whatever. The only reason those things show up is because they were willing time after 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 time to put themselves out there when they had nothing. And once they stepped out, they just kept it out. You ever seen that movie where, you know, there's a line of soldiers, and the guy says, everybody step up. And so everybody starts to, and then the one dude steps up and everybody else steps back, and he's out there. He's out there. He ain't going back. The only reason all those things flow for anybody else is because they were willing to put themselves out there, and I won't do it again, time after time after time. That's the only reason. We have such fragmented, categorized theology that we've relegated everything to giftings and offices because that's the only way we can explain why some people flow certain ways and some people don't. The only difference, everybody say only, the only difference is because somebody was willing to put themselves out there when they had nothing, and they didn't care if they had nothing, because you don't have nothing. You have the power of God. You have the presence of God. You have the works of God. You have how great God is. You have all the things that you read about in Psalms 145. You can at least talk about those, because people do not know. There are so many goofball, crazy, whacked-out versions of God out there, and they're all gunning for the minds of human beings. You have in your possession a relationship with the creator of the universe. There is no God like him. He's absolutely fantastic. And he really does do all these things. So what happens is this. You start talking about it because that's become the meditation of your heart. You start talking about the greatness of God, the power of God, all the things he's doing. I'll let you guys out on time. It becomes your focal point. And we're gonna create this kind of environment in this church. I'm going to talk to you about it next week. Where we are absolutely expecting God to do the biggest, most awesomest, most unimaginable, you think in the recesses of your mind impossible things in your life this year for you. The result of you doing that, you opening your mouth, you declaring the greatness of Him, the power of Him, the magnitude of Him to people. Let me say to people, not to your pet, to people. The result of that is it reproduces. He's with you in that moment, and he gets a chance, he gets an opportunity to prove that what you're saying is absolutely true. But he's got to have a people that are willing to put themselves out there before he gives you his gold. Did you hear what I just said? If you want to see, if you want to develop in an area, if you want to develop in what the Word of God calls the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, then the only way, everybody say only, the only way you will ever develop in those things is you have to come to the place where you have such thick skin, you have said, I'm going to put myself out there and I don't give a rip what happens because this is who I am and this is the only gospel there is. And if you do that time and time and time and time and time and time again, otherwise it's a waste of life. What else is there? There is no other gospel. I just read the other day that finally the Southern Baptists are saying, you know what? This tongues thing is good. All these streams, pretty soon you're going to have Southern Baptists out there laying hands on the sick, and they're going to be flooding, and they're going to be having experiences with God because they know such thing as man tags. There's only such thing as limited revelation because you stopped at a certain point. But the result of you worshiping and praising Him and everything else is it not on the screen anymore? What happened to it? Shut down. Well, that's effective. He talks about the meditation of his heart, and he goes through it in verses 13 through 17 of Psalms 1 and 45. You can read it yourself, because you guys are in your Bibles every day, right? Verses 13 through 17, he says this, "You are the Lord that reigns over your never-ending kingdom through all the ages of time and eternity." So he's speaking, what is he meditating on? The meditation of his heart is about a never-ending kingdom. In other words, he understands that God is telling us that there's absolute saturation of influence. Do you notice that he said it's a never-ending kingdom through all ages of time and eternity? Do you understand that's talking about two different locations? We live in time, but we also live in eternity. He says the kingdom rules over both. So if the kingdom ruling over time is your meditation, and it's an eternal kingdom, and it's a never-ending kingdom, then it has absolute saturation of influence in both areas, then we would act like it, right? If that was our constant meditation, how would that affect how we act out there in public? Well, I just want to go to the mall and count the tiles on the floor. I just like the window dressings. I like to look at the colors of the shoes. Then he goes on to say, you're faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. So then not only do we have absolute saturation of influence in time and eternity, because there's a kingdom that's never ending. In fact, Isaiah 9 said the increase of the kingdom is never going to stop. I mean, that's talking about influence and authority, right? He goes on to say, you're faithful to fulfill every promise, so there's absolute dependability. Then he goes on to say, you manifest yourself as kindness. This is verse 14 and verse 17. In all that you do, you're fair and righteous in everything you do. Your love is wrapped in all your works. So he says, weak and feeble ones, you will sustain. Now, is that, did he say you might? You will. Isn't that a guarantee? Why do we act like it's not? You will sustain them. Those bent over with burdens of shame, you might lift them up if all three chariots line up, if they believe right. No, he says, weak and feeble ones, you will sustain. See, these are all things that are his constant meditation. No wonder he's always praised and always sending praise out in the eternal realm and always talking about the greatness of his power and the magnitude of his miracles and all. Why? Because in his mind, all of these things are guaranteed. This is the constant meditation of his heart. This is the constant meditation of our hearts in this church. Weak and feeble ones, you will sustain. Those bent over with burdens of shame, you will lift up. So we have, so far we have absolute saturation of influence, a never-ending kingdom. It rules over time and eternity. We have absolute dependability, faithful to fulfill every promise. We have absolute reliability. You will sustain and you will lift up. Sounds pretty good so far. Then he says, you've captured our attention and the eyes of all look to you. You gave what they hunger for at just the right time. So we have absolute spontaneity. Do you understand that if you as a human being, if you're willing to put yourself out there time and 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 time again, you're going to come to the place where you recognize absolute spontaneity in any situation you're in, you'll recognize him and you'll know what to do with it when you get it. Because the person you're talking to is in this verse, both of you, you have captured our attention and the eyes of all look to you. You will have trained yourself to look to him every single moment of your breathing. And you will have developed an absolute spontaneity because this is where he lives. So not only do we have absolute saturation of influence, absolute dependability, absolute reliability, now we have absolute spontaneity. And then it says, when you open your hand, generous hands, it's full of blessings. See, this is all he's thinking about. Folks, if you allow something to get into your thought life, to spread some sorry weed on how God may not, then this is not your constant meditation. And only you have control of what's planting in your garden. Not somebody else's issue. He said, I have made this my constant meditation. I meditate on his power. I meditate on his works. I meditate on his faithfulness. I meditate on his influence. I meditate on his reliability. I meditate on his spontaneity. My attention is constantly on him everywhere I go. He said, because you open your generous hand, it's full of blessings, you satisfy the longings of most living things. No, it says every. Let me ask you a question. If every living thing, you satisfy the longings of every living thing. Every living thing not only means the people that you talk to on a daily basis, but it also means you. Who told you? Okay, yeah, I'm going to go there. How many of you ever watched some kind of a video and seen masses of people being healed? What does it do? What does it do to you? Y'all are so nice. You know what it does to me? It makes me want to fall on the floor and cry like a baby. Yes, you heard it here first. The pastor's a crybaby. That's what it makes it do for me. And I would almost wager that it probably does the same thing for you if you'd let it. Do you know why? Because the reason it hits you that way is because that's you up there. You're that minister. You're that minister. You're not the ones in the seats. You're that minister. And you were designed. Every human being was designed to see that level of God flow through them to produce those results. Every single one. This verse says, he satisfies the longings of every living thing. The reason why it affects you that way, folks, is because that's a desire and a longing in your heart. That's the reason it affects you that way. Because it is a longing in your heart. Well, this verse just tells you, he satisfies the longings of your heart. You draw near to those who call out to you, listening ever closely, especially when their hearts are true. Every one of your godly lovers. Now, guess what's happened? It started with you at the beginning of chapter 145. As a result of what was coming out of you, it started reaching the generations and the masses. Now he's talking about godly lovers. It's not just church people. It's everybody that has began to praise him and magnify him for all of his magnificent works because of what you're saying. So we're talking about folks at the mall, folks at Home Depot, folks at the gas station. We're talking about all these folks. Now all of a sudden, when you look behind you, it's not just you. You've got masses of people that are following you. And they're all doing the same thing you started out doing in the very first verses of chapter 145. And they're all producing the same thing. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And here he's, and finally by the time you get over here, he says, every one of your godly lovers receives even more than what they ask for. He's talking about you and all those other people that started from verse 3 forward. For every one of your godly lovers receives even more what they ask for. For you hear what their hearts really long for, and you bring them your saving strength. God, you watch carefully over all of your lovers like a bodyguard. This is verse 16 through 20. So we have absolute inclusion as sons and daughters. Folks, I don't know what you've been fed your whole life. Maybe nothing. Maybe it's just the constant gnawing of darkness talking in your ear saying, that's not you. You can't do that. You better not. You'll look stupid. What if? Did you ever notice that natural men and women never have any problems saying, I'm Catholic, I'm this, I'm that? No problems. You know why? No pressure. There's no pushback. Darkness is not pushing back. But when you become a follower of Jesus and a lover of Jesus, and you change the preoccupations of your life to be Him and the interests of Him, now all of a sudden you've put hell on notice. But He's telling you in this, if you want to know how is Best Life Church going to grow, Psalms 145, do you honestly think there's any other way? What have we thought? I can tell you from personal experience, the old adage, if you build it, they will come, is not true. Can I hear amen? Amen. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How? Well, that was right on the tails of, Peter, what you just got, you got from heaven. Oh, and by the way, that rock of what you just got from heaven, getting things from heaven, is what I'm going to build my church on. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. In comes the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians. I'm done. I'm just going to close it out and just say this. I realize I gave you guys a lot, but you guys know I love you, right? I suppose, and I'm just kind of talking out loud here, guys. I'm not implying anything at all. Okay, everybody say I'm not implying anything. Okay, but I don't want anybody running and saying, well, if we cease to have a place to meet, which is not happening, I'm just speaking out loud here. If we ceased having a place to meet, and after next week, everybody just said, you know what? I don't have time for this. I'm out of here. And at the end of the day, I got me and Shelby. We're still going to do it. There may be no Best Life Church for very long, but there will be by the end of the year. And it may be totally different faces. I realize I'm taking a risk in what I'm going to share next week. But Jesus is not playing anymore, folks. He wants so badly to get over to you who you really are and what He can produce through your life and show you, blow heaven up for you, and completely alter your expectations and where you are preoccupied with. Your life at the end of the year, all He's asking for you to do. Oh, I'll say this. How many got a copy of that book I gave you? How many got a copy of Attack Lamps? Who did not get a copy? How many got a copy? If you got a copy, stand up. If you all are standing up. If you got a copy, stand up. Do you guys have your own individuals? You're not sharing one, right? Are you sharing one? Okay, I'll get you another one. I got a bunch of them. Okay, so I'll get you one. I got one in my car. Okay, so everybody's got one. Everybody in this room has got one. Okay, so next week I'm going to explain to you what we're going to use that book for. Can you just give them mine? Oh, okay. I didn't realize I brought them in. I thought that was mine. I said, well, there's a bunch of notes and junk in that one. Okay, next week I'm going to explain to you what we're going to use that book for. And I totally understand, guys. I totally get it that I can't make anybody do anything. I get it. But I'm just telling you this, that my heart's desire and Jesus' heart's desire is that everybody that considers Best Life Church to be their home will get on board with this, and this shorted out wire will cease to exist. And we'll finally give Jesus something to add to in 2017. Because we'll all be of one spirit, because we work to guard the unity of the Spirit. Because all of our preoccupation is the same one. And we move forward in 2017 and we start seeing all the new faces. And we start seeing all the things that God's doing. And pretty soon, by the end of the year, we've quadrupled in size. And I understand when I say that, guys, I understand this, that I'm taking the risk of people in the room saying, well, I don't want this to grow anymore. I like it like this. God doesn't like it like this. That's not the heart of Jesus. That's called self-preservation. And I love everybody in this room. Jesus is inviting us to a feast. We have to make the choice. Are we going to come? Or is He going to say, well, I'm going to raise up this church over here. I know this guy will do it. This girl will do it. I don't want to be that guy. And I know you don't want to be that person either. Do we really, really, really understand that a local church is raised up to complete and fulfill a desire that is in the heart of our daddy for this city? It is not my thing. It's not her thing. I don't have a problem with somebody putting their face on a sign. I don't care about that. I don't have any problems with that. But I'm just telling you, it's not my thing. We've done this church thing, oh, it's been 30 years, 20 years, 25, 24 years. Believe me when I say, it's not my idea. Let's pray. You guys are okay, right? You blow up on Facebook and Pastor just read us a riot act and blah, blah, blah. I won't see it anyway, so I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, wait till next week. No, next week's going to be great because I'm going to tell you all the things we're going to do as a church. I'm going to tell you some specific things we're going to set into motion, some things we're going to make available, and some tools that we're going to make available for us let me just put it this way, for us to detox. Yeah, I know. I'm jumping the bit, man. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We just love you. Father, I just thank you for everybody in this room. They love you. They have a heart for you. And they want to grow into the fullness of the head. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love us so much that you'll take it at our speed, but you've empowered us to accelerate things. And so we just thank you and ask that you'll do that for us. We thank you for what you're doing in this church this year, and we tell you that you've invited us to the feast and we're coming. We'll bring the other folks too, but we're not going to give up our seat and stand on the outside and gnash our teeth and realize that could have been me. It should have been me because it is going to be us. And we love you and praise you for it, Father, and we thank you. We'll magnify you forever for your power, your great and mighty deeds, for what you're doing in our midst on a daily basis. We'll magnify you. We'll never forget. We'll memorialize the great things that you do in our life, even if they're small things. We'll recognize them and we'll write them down and we will not forget. And we'll start there, and we'll just see you explode in our midst, Father. And it will be said in Best Life Church. There's just something about that church. I don't understand what it is. They just seem to carry a presence of God that I've never tasted before. But I just want to be a part of that. And I just want to be, I don't know how to get there, but I just want to be a part of that. And I want to experience God like that. And you've already got us our building. And I'm telling you, and I thank you so much, Lord, that it's mind-blowing. We'll stand in our new building that's three times the size of this and we'll say, how in the world did we ever end up here? And we'll have to say, it's because what we chose to constantly meditate upon. We now have a bigger, more efficient way to grow up the masses, to grow up the generations who will constantly be declaring the wonderful works and the mighty power of you. And the cycle will never end. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. We declare that this is the year you'll do that. Because we have made a decision that we're like the guy in the line. We step up and we are not going to step back. And everybody that agreed with that prayer said, amen. Amen. Well, I still love you.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.